The story of the mission of the 70 is a second mission story. Jesus sends out the 12 earlier in the story and gives them instructions about what they are to do. The mission of the 70 is an extension then of the mission of the 12. This story is a series of instructions by Jesus. So the entire story is a speech of Jesus. Then the only exception to that is when the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." So there's their excitement in that report and the sharing of that by Jesus. But prior to that, everything is a series of commands about what they are to do and a description of what this means. Jesus is here speaking as a commander, but the mission on which he is sending them is radically different than a military mission, as with David or Saul sending the young men on a particular military task. Jesus gives them commands, and there is a kind of implicit military spirit in this, in that he's giving them orders. But it's a nonviolent mission against the powers of evil. So the contrast between this mission of the 70 and the expectations of the Messiah is a contrast between a mission of war and a mission of nonviolent resistance to the powers of evil. Part of what is in the background of this story are the instructions to the 12 about what they are to do, namely to heal the sick, to preach the kingdom of God. All of that is in the background of this story, but is not named in the story itself. Some observations about the mnemonic structure of this story to make it easier for you to identify the ways of remembering it. The first episode is his command, so that he sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he intended to go, and said, "The harvest is plentiful." So that this first episode has the harvest metaphor. So if you think of the command and the harvest, harvest is plentiful, laborers are few, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. So those are the verbal threads of those two sentences. The next is his instructions. "Go, on your way. Now look, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves." A memorable metaphor. So think lambs and wolves. Then the instructions. "Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road." These instructions are somewhat surprising. Prior to this, he has sent them out, but has never said this, "greet no one on the road," before. The "no purse, no bag, and no sandals" means that they have absolutely nothing. So they are sent out on this mission in total dependence on other people on the one hand, and on the other hand, on God. So the next part is the house. "Whatever house you enter, say, 'Peace to this house.' And then remain in the same house and don't move from house to house." So this episode is about the house, and its structure is first peace and the identification of someone who shares in your peace, and then eat and drink what they provide and don't move around from house to house. What's in the background of this is that they would be tempted to move around from house to house and get the best food in every place. The next part of this is about the towns that welcome you and the towns that do not welcome you. So in the towns that welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick, say to them, "The kingdom of God has come near." But when they don't welcome you, then even the dust of your town that clings to our feet. So that's the way to remember that. The next part is about those who listen and those who reject, and then the result, that the 70 returned and even the demons submit to us. Notice that verbal thread, because that's the end of the last episode of this story. The last episode, then, is Jesus' words about the domination of Satan. I watched Satan fall from heaven, and I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. And then the last thing is rejoice. Don't rejoice at this, Spirit submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So those may be some helpful things to identify about the character of the story and of its mnemonic structure. Now, the 70. This is the only notice of 70 in addition to the 12 in the gospel tradition. And the impact of this in Luke is that it's first 12 and now 70. So the mission is expanding, and those whom Jesus is sending is increasing. The description of what they are to do is made explicit in what they are to do in the towns where they welcome you, cure the sick, say to them, the kingdom of God has come near. And then at the end, when they report, it is that even the demons submit to us. But there is no word about cast out demons in his instructions. The initial instruction is to prepare his way. This is like the notice about John the Baptist, the beginning of Mark. It goes to prepare the way for you. Those who prepared the way for a king were prepared the way for a royal procession. So they are to go and prepare his way on his way up to Jerusalem in all the towns and the cities by doing the things that he commands them. And clearly, if they have done these things in these towns and villages, then Jesus will receive a good welcome. And also he will know, which towns to enter and which ones not to. The mission on which he is sending them, that he's sending them like lambs, means that it is dangerous and that they are highly vulnerable. So they go with no weapons, they go with no resources, no purse, no bag, no sandals. Now, in terms of Jesus' strategy, what that does is it means that they come to these towns with nothing. So they are not in any way a threat. They have no resources. They can't be stolen from because they don't have anything. And so there is a kind of wisdom in Jesus' words about the way in which he's sending them out. The greeting no one is also, on the one hand, a protection. That is, they're not establishing relationship with anyone. They are also about an urgent mission. And so they are continuing without any sense of being constrained by the need to establish positive relationships with people on the road. The gift of peace. Now, whenever you enter and it's people, say first, whatever, to whatever house, peace to this house. Now, why is that an issue? It's because people had an expectation that if someone came into their village, two, four, whatever, that what they may want to do is to steal or to commit violence in some way. It's in contrast to war and to violence. So the peace to this house is also a greeting of the presence of the kingdom of God. It is the first gift of the government that Jesus will establish in the world, the gift of peace. It is not only the absence of war, it is also shalom, the full sense of complete well-being. But in Luke's context, in the late 80s or early 90s, whenever his gospel was composed, is in the immediate aftermath of the Jewish war. So the war was a major issue. that was in the background for Luke's listeners. This gift of peace can be rejected, as is the case with all offers of peace. And peace is described here as a spiritual power. So if someone shares in peace, then your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. So the gift of peace and the offer of peace is in part a negotiation. It's to see whether or not the person who is offered this peace will give it back. It's a spiritual power, and it's a spiritual relationship of peace that is established. The injunction to stay in the same house is in part for another pragmatic thing. You know, don't look for the best place. Don't shop around. Try out this house, that house. See which one has the best food and the nicest places to sleep. Stay in the same house. Don't make that an issue, because that would be a distraction in the town in relation to their mission. The description about how to respond to the towns that do not welcome you is an instruction by Jesus that enables them to deal with their discouragement. So rather than leaving a town rejected and discouraged, they are to leave a town by making a prophetic announcement as they leave. Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. But know this, the kingdom of God has come near, and you have rejected it. The rejection then will not intimidate or discourage you. It is their problem, not yours. So simply announce that. And then Jesus describes that it's not them who is being rejected. You know, whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. So be clear about, you know, what's going on here. It's not about you. It's that you are pointing to a reality that I have introduced and that God has introduced. And so if they reject you, they're not just rejecting you, they're rejecting me, and they are rejecting the God who sent me. The joy of the 70 is that even the demons submit, that they have experienced the dominance of their mission over the powers of evil. And Jesus' final words to them are, on the one hand, a sharing of their joy. You know, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning, and I've given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Now, what's important to recognize about this is that the enemy here is not the Romans. It's not the Gentiles. It's not a foreign army. It is rather the power of evil. And that's what they go to combat, is the ways in which the powers of evil have been present in these towns and communities. But their joy, then, is to be focused not on their great success or their success or failures, but rather the recognition in the book of heaven. That is, that they're part of the extension of the government of God in the world. That's their source of joy. It is also the source of joy for everyone who would tell this story, and for all those who will experience in hearing this story that they too are sent to be part of this mission of the establishment of the government of God in the world. So they're part of the 72. This story has a lot of energy. It is a story about the broadening and extension of Jesus' mission and of the mission of the kingdom of God.